Well, we're joined by Helen Jones Campbell, who is one of the people who will remember a lot of the early history of WoWo. She worked there in the 1930s and so forth. We'll find out more. Helen, thank you for joining us here.
You're quite welcome.
So tell us the years you were at WoWo.
1938 in November until 1941 in April.
You were a singer at WoWo, right?
Yes.
And how did you get the job there? You were very young.
Oh, I was taking some, I don't even remember who now, some lessons how to entertain banquets and stuff, and this lady got me a couple of jobs around Fort Wayne when they used to do that at banquets, and then they would hire people to come in, tap dancers and singers, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know who the people were that hired me, but it was some lady, like a booking agent, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how then I finally, first I got this job at Berghoff Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Maury Cross had a band there, and they needed a girl singer, is what Rosemary Clooney has now nationwide called all of us. We were always known as the girl singer. And that's the truth. I know, you laugh, and people laugh, but that was a serious thing for us.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard Rosemary Clooney in recent years past being interviewed, and she says the same thing that I'm saying. And she said to the man interviewing her, don't laugh. That was our job, and that was what we were called. And I thought, amen. She said it, but everybody thinks it's funny. And it was earning money for me and for her way back. And I never could understand why they thought it was funny. I guess it is.
I guess in a way it must be. Now, do you remember how much you were paid for those first jobs at WoWo?
Oh, yeah. At the Berghoff Gardens, I got $80 a week.
Wow. That wasn't bad at that time, was it?
Wasn't bad. I made more than probably the president of the bank. But those kind of people were wanted. I mean, you could get jobs with a band, and that's what I needed. I need to live and pay my own way in the world, and I was glad to get $3 a night, which is what I sometimes did. Some orchestra would call me and say, we need a girl singer for next Saturday. Are you available? Yeah, I sure am. Well, I'd get $3 from 8 to 1.
Now, you grew up not too far from Fort Wayne. Tell us about that.
Well, I was born in Auburn, and when I was 9, we moved to Garrett. My dad was on the railroad, and then from there, I came to Fort Wayne.
Did you grow up listening to WOWO at the time?
Oh, heavens, yes, ever since I could remember. Oh, sure. When they went on the air, I don't remember all that, but when you could buy radios, finally, if you could afford them, we finally got one.
So do you remember you had gotten a gig at Berghoff Gardens? How did you make that transition to get the job at WoWo, and do you remember your first appearance there?
Well, because we were on the air, I think, one or two nights a week, and people used to come in there and eat and have a drink or something, and whatever they did, I don't know. I was there 8 weeks, and I got the job at the station just a couple of blocks down the street, which I was just thrilled. So I got to work for Hilda Wehrmeyer, and then they gave me a couple of shots on the air, which I was thrilled. I was hoping someday I would get to do that, and I did.
So when you say you worked for Hilda, you were doing office work of some kind?
Oh, that's what I was hired for, really. I mean, the singing on the air was extra. If they needed somebody, I went in and rehearsed and did it.
How much notice would you have if you had to do that?
Oh, sometimes half hour, an hour.
Wow.
It didn't make any difference to me. That was not that important. I was making either $10 or $15 a week. But anyhow, I was Hilda Wehrmeyer's secretary. She was the head of the, what the guys read on the air, all the stuff. The
continuity?
Yeah, continuity director. And so I worked for her. Actually, she was my boss. And I had a desk and a typewriter and whatever. And then Gene Brown was the musical director. So she said, I want you on for Tuesday or something. And so I'd go figure out what I wanted to sing, and that was it. It was just part of the day.
There are pictures of a lot of these folks on our website. Jean Brown did a lot of things at WoWo in the late 30s and early 40s.
Oh, yeah. She was there when I went there.
What can you tell us about her?
Not really anything. She was just the musical director. Anything that was music, then we called them the hillbilly shows, but now it's all country western.
Was it primarily hillbilly music that you were singing, or did you do some big band music, or was it kind of a combination?
Oh, no, that's what I... See, I was on the air with Bob Shreve every night, Monday through Friday.
What kind of a show was that?
Just musical.
Uh-huh.
He did a number, and I did a number, and I don't know whether the band did or not. I can't remember. But that was Sunset Serenade, something like that. It was early evening, dinner time. But, well, I was on five times a week plus working for Hilda.
Sounds like you were pretty busy.
Yes, sir, and I didn't get any extra money either.
Now, there's a very memorable picture on our website in the 1930s section that has you standing next to a young man named Eldon Campbell.
That turned out to be my husband.
And I understand that that picture was the very first time you met your future husband. Is that right?
That is 5 minutes after we said, how do you do, in the studio. He was going to be the announcer. We said, how do you do, and they took the picture. They were getting ready to make that book. So they wanted a picture of the two of us because he was going to be on Indiana Indigo, and that was on NBC every Saturday. And I think that was almost a year that we did that. But he was the announcer for that show.
You mentioned some of these network broadcasts. You were on a number of those, right?
No, just NBC every Saturday.
But I'm talking about there were different shows. For example, were you ever on...
Anything. A Sunday afternoon, if that was my day to work at the switchboard on a weekend and show people through the studio, you know, do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew what I was going to do the next day, but I took people through this too. Oh, and then this man, I can't say his name right now. I think he, I don't know what he did. He owned a furniture store or something. But anyhow, he paid for himself to get on the radio and read the funny papers to kids. We had many listeners that, well, there was nothing else.
Yeah.
Everybody listened to the radio. He was wonderful. He would make noises, if I remember, sort of, but once in a while he'd come out to the desk and I'd be there waiting to answer the phone in case it rang, and he'd say, oh, he said, can you do a song for me this afternoon? This was long before I went on the air with him. He said, can you do a song for me? He read the funny papers to the kids. He said, I've got one that I'd love to have you sing for me. And I said, sure, just show it to me. So he did, and I went over it with the piano player for a couple of times, and I got it. And so I went in and just sat on a chair until it was he was on the air, and the red light came on, and I got up, and they announced that I was going to sing a song for the kiddies, and fine, I did it, and I was done. I mean, that was par for the course. I mean, you did many, many things impromptu.
Were almost all the programs at that time live, or were there pre-recorded shows?
Oh, sure. Everything was live.
Mm-hmm.
We had a studio that people could come up just walking through the stores and stuff downtown just to come up and watch a show. There may be two people there, and maybe seven, or they'd say, oh, let's go up and watch a program. Well, that was live, whatever it was. I don't remember all of them. I was busy.
Now, you mentioned you gave station tours. Did a lot of people just walk in and say...
Oh God, it was their life, radio. But my mom and dad, first thing they do is they step out of bed, they turn on the radio.
Yeah.
You've got to know the farm news. You've got to know the weather. You've got to know if somebody got killed overnight. Everything. You lived with the radio. Today, everybody lives with television.
Yeah. Did you appear on the Hoosier Hop?
One time I did. Somebody either got sick or couldn't. I don't know what it was. It was a fill-in once.
Now, you mentioned Indiana Indigo, and we just mentioned the Hoosier Hop. Those were national broadcasts on the NBC networks, right?
Indiana Indigo was my show. I was the singer for 15 minutes. Ellen was the announcer. I did two numbers in the swing quartet. Well, Gene Brown played the piano, and Carl Connor, I guess, played a fiddle, violin. But that was my show. I followed Doris Day. Yeah, she was in Cincinnati, so it very likely was Doris Day still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I followed. She had a 15-minute show. I had a 15-minute show, and that was about a year, but I never got a break.
Do you have any particular memories of Jay Gould?
Oh, sure. Oh, I knew Jay. I met him at the when I was on the switchboard in the lobby. He came up there for his interview, and I knew the name that man was coming, and he had been, I can't say the name of the town in Michigan.
Kalamazoo, I believe, wasn't it?
That could be, but I'm not going to guarantee it. But anyhow, he had been listening to the station for a long, long time, so he asked me my name when he was up there waiting to meet Eldon, I guess it was. And I said, you know, just wait, I'll get him. And he said, you're Helen Jones? And I said, yes, sir, that's my name. And he said, I never missed you on Saturday. And I thought, oh, gosh, I got one fan that I know of. That's wonderful. And we just became good friends. He was the farm man. He was there for years and years and years. In fact, he wrote songs, and he always sent me a copy, and, you know, we were very, and then his wife, we'd go out and watch him build his house.
Any memories of Bob Sievers when you were there?
Only that he came home from the Navy, and everybody had a stroke, because he walked up there, and he had gained weight, and he had this gorgeous uniform on. He got red in the face when he was single, if any of the office girls talked to him. He was so bashful. And he came back up those stairs. I'll never forget him. Came up those stairs, and we, of course, didn't know we were going to see him. But he came up to see everybody, and he had a cigar. And, oh, God, we almost all died. That wasn't the Sievers that we knew that went away. But anyhow.
Would you mind if I just threw out some names from that era and see if you remember anything about those people?
Yeah, if I can.
All right.
Oh.
Well, you mentioned Bob Shreve. Tell us a little about him, what he did, and what
all
he was like.
All I can tell you, honestly, is he quit the station and he went to Cincinnati, WLW. That's all I know.
All right. Now, there were several women who used the name Jane Weston at WoWo.
She was the kitchen lady.
Yeah.
You know, Westinghouse stoves, refrigerators.
Was that Dorothy Wright at the time you were there? Was that her real name?
I'm not sure about her last name. It was Dorothy, and she had this cooking show on.
And that show had a live audience that came in frequently, right?
Oh, yeah, ladies. She would say something about love to have you come up, and oh, they'd come. But I was not there anymore. I was married.
Okay. Do you remember Maury Cross?
Maury Cross? He was my boss at the nightclub.
And did he also work at WoWo?
No. He just had his band there.
Was Dorothy Durbin still at the station when you were there?
That was the gal that started me out getting me jobs.
Oh, really? I think Dorothy was the program director of the station probably before
originally,
you got there.
Originally, yes. Because I read somewhere that her husband was in on it, and then they needed help in the office, and she got started, and that was how she got into this talent business, and that was what she did if she found talent. And she's the one that got me the job at the Berghoff Gardens with Maury Cross.
Another name I know of is Mary Berghoff. Do you remember her?
Oh, sure. She paid for her own show. Well, she had the money.
Tell us about that.
The Berghoff, the beer. But anyhow, I don't know the beer, but yeah, I used to see her, and she used to come up and practice with her piano player, and everybody would laugh. But she spent the money, so fine. I don't know how many months she was on either.
Do you remember someone named Shirley Wayne?
No, she was a comedian, if I remember, but I did not know her.
All right. Now, I'm going to mention a few names that I think people who are students of WoWo history will recognize. Franklin Took, tell us about him.
Oh, he was the program director when I went there in 38. And so was Eldon. Eldon's in my kind of like a boss,
mm-hmm.
because I was on the air and Eldon was on the air. So we basically would report to Franklin. Frank, we called him. I don't know. Then the war came and he was a lieutenant and off to where he went. He went to Philadelphia, I think, KYW.
And so when Frank went to World War II, Eldon was promoted to program director. Is that right?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I understand that Eldon's first day as program director was December 7th, 1941. Does that sound right?
I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that when the war came and Frank was gone, he was in the Navy, but anyhow, they got to have a program director. They have to,
yeah,
because everything is live. So Steve Connolly called Eldon in the office and said he wanted him to take Frank's job, which was program director. Now then, back up for one day. The program director of any radio station in those days when the war started, manager, chief engineer, and the program director, the government allowed us how those across the United States, those three jobs would be left on the job.
So they would be exempt from the draft.
And that's why, yeah. That's why he never had to go into the service.
Mm-hmm.
He went and volunteered, but he didn't let them call his number out.
Do you have any particular memories of December 7th, 1941?
Only except that we were over at Mom's and Dad's in Garrett for the weekend, like once in a while we did, and been to church and came home. Mom was getting Sunday dinner for the four of us. And then, see, you'd automatically have the radio on.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't have, we'd have never known that day. But my dad and Eldon were in the living room listening to the radio, and they came out in the kitchen, and, of course, all hell broke loose.
Did Eldon have to take off at that point and go back to the station?
I don't think we saw anything but the key to the car and the clothes upstairs, and we went. Oh, no, we had to go immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I was up there the next week because all of them had gone to war all in 1 week, almost all of them, and I was cleaning toilets. I was redoing typewriters. I was dusting. I went up every night because we didn't have any kids, helping Eldon with all the whatever. Of course, he lived there. He slept there on desks and back in the rooms, and I don't know how many hours out of 24 that he was at the station. I mean, he had to be. He was running it.
And did he lose a lot of his announcers almost immediately?
Oh, my God. And that was, well, yeah, that's part of the job that he had. The biggest job, he's got to replace all these people that are gone. Oh, he was on that 24 hours a day. This one guy had one arm missing just below the elbow. Oh, could he play the organ? Oh, never forget him. Don't know his name. Well, anybody, they had to have a voice, too.
Mm-hmm.
So he was interviewing. I mean, he was exhausted when it was over, because that's quite a chore. Because everybody else wanted him, too, on radio.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have to see them if they were missing an arm or a leg or one eye. But that was when he found Tom Carnegie.
Oh, really? Tell us about that. He was a youngster at that time, and he
had polio when he was 17. And from then on, of course, he didn't really walk to amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was looking for work, and it was his voice that Eldon liked on the telephone. So he came on the train for the interview. Eldon needed voices. He didn't care what they looked like.
Now, I know Bob Sievers went off to World War II, and I'm sure you could probably name some others. Hilliard Gates, did he go off to war as well? I'm not sure.
He did, but he had to finally get out because we went out to see him at the hospital one night. He was almost at death's door, and somehow or other the oxygen tank or something worked, and he was a little better the next morning and a little better the next day. He had trouble, but he had a voice.
Tell us about Hilliard, because I know a lot of people remember him from Channel 33 in Fort Wayne, because he certainly was a pioneer there.
Where he was all the time.
Yeah, but before that, he was at WoWo.
But we became close, like one family. We've been close like family ever since, and very brilliant, brilliant.
Hilliard was an announcer. What kinds of things did he do there at the time? Sports.
He was a sports guy.
Mm-hmm.
He used to drag Eldon along with him at every year of the football games so he could do the color. And he wouldn't charge him anything. Of course not. Eckridge, no, he wouldn't charge him. That was thrilling for Eldon to go there and do the color commercials. Purdue, Indiana, you name them.
What year did you leave Fort Wayne in the capacity at WoWo? What year did...
1945, I think it was.
He went on and worked for Westinghouse.
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
KEX.
KEX. And he worked for Westinghouse for a number of years after that, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He was the national salesman.
Were you in New York for a while in that job?
6 years.
And then he went to Indianapolis and got into television, right?
Correct.
And that was quite a career there.
Oh, you bet. We were number one every year he was in that seat. You betcha. He wouldn't let anybody else be number one.
Helen, I really want to say thank you for all you've done to share your memories here and also helping to identify some of these older pictures we have on the website.
Well, I just wish you a lot of luck in the future, whatever you find out.
All right. Well, thank you, Helen.
Okay. You're welcome, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.